As this is my final message with y'all today, due to retirement, I wanted to share a challenge that I think applies to every one of us. It comes from a story that I actually heard when I was 18 years old. Pastor of a local church told me a story that when he was a member of his high school's 4x400 relay team, they made it to the state championship in California. Thousands and thousands of high schools, and they were one of the final six in the state. First lap, the runner took the lead. Everybody in the fans were cheering. Second lap, second runner managed to increase the lead a little bit, and everybody was getting really excited. Third lap, the runner dropped behind a little bit, but they were still in first place. And they had their best runner, their fastest runner, running the last leg of the 4x400. He got the baton, he ran smooth, he ran around the first and second curve, and then that first long straightaway, he pulled up and walked off the track. Everybody thought he'd pulled a hamstring. They rushed over to find out, and the coach ran over there and tried to find out what happened. And the coach is going, "What happened? What happened?" And the runner looked at him and said, "I just didn't feel like running anymore." True story. And they didn't even finish the stage. When the rest of his teammates heard that, they said they felt like irrigating him with their track spikes. You and I have known many people over the years that for one reason or another have started the Christian race very strong, but they're no longer running the race. They're no longer sitting in worship where they used to sit. They're no longer serving where they used to serve. And when we look at their example, the question becomes, how can you and I make sure that we will finish well this race that God has laid out before us? And that's what I want to focus on this morning, finishing well the Christian life, the Christian race. I want to go back to another athletic example that tells you how I was introduced to the sport of cross-country running, because it has very important implications for us. My son Christian was in fifth grade, 10 years old, and he won first place in regionals for the mile championship, Indiana State Games. And as a regional winner, he was asked to run in the state finals. But when we learned more about it, we learned that the state finals was not 1 mile, it was 5 miles. And he was going to have to run that in about a month. And not only was he going to be running 5 miles instead of 1 mile, he would be running against all other participants in the entire state in every age group, all the way up to 80 plus years old. When he got to the start line, he was the youngest and probably smallest, shortest competitor of everybody in that race. And he was quickly swallowed up in the sea of runners. You could just see that nervousness. He knew he wasn't going to win. A while later, as Donna and I are near the crossing of the finish line, we notice two different things about this sport of cross country. First of all, the crowd cheered for every runner as they crossed the finish line. Not just the first place, but for every runner. And then, in addition, as each runner would cross the finish line, the runners would hang around and encourage the other runners still in the race. And so the more runners that finish, the larger the crowd at the finish line. Now, Christian was running well, but he was one of the last runners in that race. Maybe the last four or 500 runners. I don't know which it was. But as he crossed that final curve, began running the final quarter mile of the race, I saw something I'll never forget in my life. Thousands of people began cheering him on. They didn't know his name. They didn't know his history. All they knew was his number. And they began yelling his number. Hearing those cheers energized him when he was discouraged. He picked up his pace. He finished the race as strong as he possibly could. And then without being taught, he hung around and encouraged some of those few remaining runners that were yet to run. That was my introduction to cross-country racing, a sport where every finisher is a winner. Now, with that image in mind, I'd like you to listen to a description of the Christian life given to us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here the author of Hebrews compares the Christian life to a long-distance race. And in doing so, he gives us four insights as to how you and I can finish strong this race that we run. We don't know how long any of us will be running, but we want to finish that race strong. The first insight is seen in the words, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. With those words, the author reminds us that we do not run this race alone. But literally, there are millions who are running with us. Now, who are these great cloud of witnesses, the other runners in the Christian faith that are watching us? They're the Christians with you in church this morning. They see your example week in and week out. And what you do makes a difference in the life of this local congregation. They're the people who comprise the Christian community in our city, in our country, and around the world. The light and the salt of the world, as Jesus called us. They're the believers who have already finished the Christian faith. You could go through the Bible and you could read the great names of faith. Every one of them are waiting to cheer you on. There are men and women through the years who have endured intense persecution and paid the ultimate price for Christ. And they're waiting for you and cheering you on. There are people like our grandparents, our parents, maybe our spouses, maybe our children who have died in Christ. And they're waiting for us. Faithfully welcome us home. Now, why is this first insight so important for you and I to be aware of, especially in those days when we grow weary and tired of being a Christian? Because just as those cheers from the crowd gave my son Christian the added motivation he needed to finish the race strong, I think realizing that we are being watched, both by people in the church and by those who have gone before us, knowing that we are being watched and cheered and encouraged, should give us that same motivation that we do not run the race alone and that we can finish strong. The second insight that we can use to finish the race well is in the words, let us throw off everything that hinders and the race and the sin that so easily entangles. Christian may have been one of the youngest runners in that race, but he and every other runner had one thing in common, and that was they were dressed as lightly as possible. And the reason's very simple. When you're in a long-distance race, the more weight you wear, the harder it is to run that race. And so you do everything you can to dress as lightly as possible. And so let me ask you two questions with that analogy about the extra weight we often find ourselves running the Christian race with. And they're both directed right using words right out of Hebrews. First of all, what sin are we holding on to that trips us up and keeps us from running the Christian race? No matter how we define it, sin is still sin in the eyes of God. And we will never be able to run this race well as long as we knowingly hold on to our sins. I've known Christians who want to finish the race well, try to run the race, but their desire to run with the Bible in one hand and pornography in the other hand trips them up time after time after time, and they stumble and fall, and it gets harder and harder to get up each time they fall. I've known other Christians who stumble and fall because they want to get ahead in this world, and getting ahead means working on Sundays. I realize that sometimes we don't have a choice. We have to support a family. But when we have that choice and we choose to work on Sundays, it's amazing how many of those people who call themselves believers are no longer in the church. I could go on, but the point should be clear. If we have a known sin in our life that we will not let go of, if there's something in our life that is deliberately harmful that we continue to do, even though we know God disapproves of it, not only will we be able to run any further in the Christian life than we're at right now, but chances are the longer we hold on to the sin, the more damage it's going to do to us, to our family, and to the cause of Christ when it comes out in the open. So for the sake of everyone involved, and especially ourselves, if you have a known sin in your life, do everything you can with the help of God to remove it. The second thing, while it may not be a sin, the Scripture talks about extra weight. And so what extra weight are you holding on to that hinders your ability to run the race well? It's not a sin. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just something that's in our life that's extra. But it makes us spiritually sluggish, and it slows us down. For example, are you spending so much time on TV and internet and that it keeps you from doing what you should do for Christ? Is it music or movies or videos? Is it the peer group we hang with? Is it something else? But whatever that extra weight is, we can count on one thing. The longer we hold on to it, the more it's going to interfere with our ability to run that race well. The reason is simple. Everything in our life is either a weight that slows us down or a wing that speeds us up. Everything in our life is either a weight that slows us down or a wing that speeds us up. And if we want to run the race well, we'll get rid of as many extra things as we have. The third insight we receive about how to run the Christian life well is found in the words, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." I've been a Christian for a lot of years now, since I was 18 years old. Almost 50 years now. And if it's one thing I've learned over 50 years, the Christian life is not a sprint. It's a long-distance race. It's not even a 5-mile race, but it's a marathon. And when it comes to running long distance, like a marathon, and even ultra-marathons of 100 miles or more that I cannot even imagine who would be insane enough to try that, there are always going to be times in that long-distance run when we want to stop running because we're so weary or tired or our muscles are so sore or we begin to hurt and it's a struggle just to keep going. When Donna and I began running in Florida, one of the routes we used to run would be fairly flat to begin with, and then we would go from what was called Spanish Trail to Scenic Highway. It was a nice mile and a half run downhill, but the problem was it was easy to run downhill. But then when we got to Scenic Highway, that's when we have to turn and start running back uphill. And we've already run miles and miles by then. And the higher up that hill I'd go, the more my legs would hurt and the slower I would get. And the slower I got and the more my legs hurt, the more I wanted to stop. I could have walked, but there are more times than not when I just wanted to sit and say, "Will you come get me, this friend?" And for me, running that uphill route is a lot like running the race that we call Christ and Christianity. At times, the race in front of us is nice and level, and it's smooth, and it's easy going, and we can run that forever. And other times, it's uphill, and it's a struggle to run with Christ. And it hurts. And even though it'd be easy to quit, the author reminds us of Hebrews to run that race with perseverance, meaning with a mindset that we are determined that we will finish no matter what, even if we have to crawl, even if we have to walk, we're still going to go forward with Christ no matter what. I want you to listen to some other scriptures in which Paul describes how he had to run the Christ race with perseverance. Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. "I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize set before me." Interesting enough, our English word for agony comes from this Greek word that Paul uses for strain. And that teaches me that there will be times when it's agonizing to stay in Christ. Times when it hurts. Times when it's so difficult that it's painful to be a Christian. I'm not here to tell you that the Christian life is a bed of roses, that all's going to be wonderful, because it's not. But when it's easy for us to quit the race, remember a couple of things. If we listen to the tempter and quit running, it's going to be harder to start running the next time. And when there's tough times come, there's something crucial I've learned that helps me run this race with perseverance. And that is because my wife is a better athlete and a better runner than I am. And so she runs ahead of me. And in order to encourage me at those times when she knows it's difficult, she loops back and she runs alongside of me. Years ago, when I was running a half marathon, and I was determined I would break the two-hour mark, my son Christian, who I used as an earlier example, came from out of state to run that race with me. And he's a really good runner. He's run about 12 marathons now. Well, he finished that race in about an hour 30 or so, just kind of relaxing, just breezing along, envy the guy. And I am struggling. And at about a mile out of the race, here comes my son Christian jogging. And then he turns around. He's already run 13 miles. And now he's running alongside of me. "Come on, Dad. You can do it. Come on, Dad. Pick up your pace just a little bit more and you'll come under two. Come on, Dad." Now here's the thing. I went under that two-hour mark that race. Because my wife ran the race with me. My son ran the race with me. When it gets difficult for you to run the Christian life, when things are tough in Christ, who is running with you? Who is that brother or sister in Christ that knows you so well, they know you're hurting, and they don't ask if they can run beside you? They're already there because they love you and they know you and they want to help you finish. To whom have you made yourself accountable? To whom have you shared your life with, your dreams, your goals, your aspirations, your pains, your struggles, your temptations? Who prays for you and who prays for you? If we want to finish the race well, I guarantee we can do it much better when we have someone running the race with us. The fourth and final insight this passage gives us is how we can finish the Christian life well is seen in the words, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." I want to switch to a different athletic picture to really picture what this means. And that's the Ironman triathlon that's held in Hawaii every year. I've not run it. The closest I've come to it is watching it on a YouTube video. Okay? I think that's as close as I want to get to it. It starts off with a 2.4-mile swim in the ocean, switches to a 112-mile bike ride over the mountains in Hawaii, and finishes with a 26.2-mile run. The best, most athletic competitors in the world gather for this, and it usually takes the first place finisher about 17 hours to finish. You can imagine that. I saw a video of the 1998 Ironman competition, which so many athletes were competing. And what made that video so compelling for me was seeing what the winner of the triathlon did. Not only did he hang around the finish line to congratulate the other elite competitors as they came and finished the race, but he said that he would stay at that finish line and personally congratulate every finisher in the race. Last man in the competition was about 85 years old. It was over 10 hours between him and the second to last finisher. But that first place champion stayed at the finish line and not only greeted every competitor when it would have been so easy for him to go in and receive his accolades that he had rightfully earned, but even when there was such a long gap between the last, second to last and the last, he stayed there to personally congratulate that 80-plus-year-old man on his accomplishment. And because of that first-place example, every single runner in the race stayed at the finish line. And when that 80-year-old man crossed the line, every single runner was given a standing as if he was the first place. Friends, what that first place runner did is what Scripture says Jesus will do for us. I say that because the writer of Hebrews tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus in order to help us finish the race. And any athlete knows as you finish the last curve of the race and you entered the straightaway, the only thing you're looking at is the finish line. Apply that principle to heaven. Jesus is standing at the finish line. And he is encouraging us and yelling for us and just can't wait to give us a high five as we cross. And I don't know about you, because my time on this earth approaches its end. I don't know if I'm in the last lap. I don't know if I've got a lap and a half left, but I know one thing. There's a lot of laps that I've already run. But no matter how many laps I have left, that last lap, Jesus will be. And when I cross the finish line, I have one desire on my life. For Jesus to give me a high five. Say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have fought the good fight. You have finished the race which I set before you. Well done. I've won a lot of medallions in life. Donna's one more. But no medallion can ever take the place of hearing those words. Just as I do not know where I am at in the Christian life, none of us knows where we are at. Today could be our last day. Tomorrow could be your last day. Last year, last month, none of us know. But we know that Jesus is there for us. And I hope all of us have the same goal in common, that no matter what happens in the years between now and when we meet Jesus, we will strive to finish that race well. And we can do so when we remember what that author of Hebrews wrote 2,000 years ago. That we allow the example and the memory of those who have gone before us to motivate us to finish well. That we examine our lifestyle to see what sins and weights that each one of us have allowed to easily entangle our lives with and choose to rid ourselves of those. And when it hurts just to keep going, to remember that the agony of running this race is going to be worth it when our brothers and sisters who are running with us cross that line together and receive the welcome of Jesus. My goal, my personal desire, is to finish this race. I pray that it's your goal and your personal desire. Father, to finish well. Some of us may end up running across that finish line. Some of us may limp. Some of us may crawl. But no matter what, help us to finish in a way that honors you and honors the name of Christ on this earth. Just as we have a cloud of Christian witnesses watching us, so too we have a cloud of non-Christians. People living in this world who see our every action, reaction, hear our every word, and see our example. May we run the life such a way that not only do we finish strong for Jesus, but we do so in a way that we are the salt and the light and encouragement to those who do not yet know Christ. By the way we run this race, may we help others who want to join in as well. We ask in your name. Once again, we are going to offer the invitation. I know that most of you, if not all of you, have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But in case you have not, we are going to offer that invitation today. If you want to be part of a church that's going to honor Christ, you can come forward and be a part of this church as well. Jeff's going to come forward. We're going to sing the invitation hymn. Then after the invitation hymn, we are going to ask you to stay. And we are going to set up the potluck so that Jeff can have one of his favorite Sundays of the year. Jeff, come on forward. that stands for you.